Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Spillers After Show podcast. I am Brian Dunn.
And I'm Robert Hookman Jr.
Now, why on earth did you say it like that?
I'm playing off the fact that the last time we did this, I said Junior, and then I made fun of myself. So
right.
And now it's just an ongoing
thing. Then it got like a whole like saucy label that Aaron Stalkup refused to be labeled.
It's true. It's going to be my shtick now. I'm doing it from now on.
Well, I kind of like it. Everybody needs a shtick.
I'm permanently Robert Hookman Jr.
Perfect. And Spillers After Show, we're here. We're talking about Spillers number 7, which is going to happen really quick-like, Robert.
Really quick-like. Like next week, quick-like.
Yeah, exactly. As in,
a week from today. A week from yesterday.
A week from yesterday. So we're talking about Tuesday, March 14th, 2017. And this time, it's being held at Valley Bar.
Valley Bar is owned by the same cool people that own Crescent Ballroom. So it's we're switching venues, but not affiliations.
No.
Charles Levy, who owns the joint. He's an awesome cat. I've never actually met him in person.
Well, we should. I think it's about time.
I think it is about time.
Yeah.
We keep holding events at his joints. So Valley Bar is super awesome. It's like a speakeasy type situation where it's literally in the basement of a building and the entrance is in an alley.
Yeah, you actually walk down into
the first thing you do is descend a set of creepy stairs.
Which makes it seem like something ominous is going to happen.
Oh, and when
exciting.
And when you hit the floor, like the actual entrance is there, the first thing you face are two sets of double doors. So you still haven't made any progress when you
No.
When you descend the stairs completely.
Yeah, and it's so for those of you who don't know and who are going to come out to Spillers number 7 on Tuesday, March 14th, Valley Bar is at 130 North Central Avenue in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
In the rear basement, specifically.
Yes. Ask for the basement, and it's a 7:30 p.m. start. That's when we start these things now. And it is a ticketed show, only $5 to hear 5 of the best short stories currently in circulation in the Phoenix metropolitan area, Robert.
Or $12. If you bundle it with a Spillers number 7 event book.
So please do. Please bundle it, people.
By all means, do that. And if we have any left afterwards, we'll be selling them at the event. If we have any left after that, they'll be available at the Poisoned Pen Bookstore.
Yes, we want to thank the Poisoned Pen Bookstore. They are carrying Spillers chapbooks now, which is a very cool thing. And Jeff over there is kind of in charge of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's recently become a very big fan of Spillers, and we really like him for that.
Yes, we like anyone who's big fans of ours, Robert.
He keeps saying really nice things about the podcast and stuff like that on the Facebook.
That is really nice. Yeah, yeah. We love it when people gush about us. A few other facts real quick. It's a 21 years old and over show.
It is.
Yep. And where can they get their tickets, Robert?
They can get their tickets on Ticketfly. The actual, I'm not going to try to spell out the URL.
No, you don't have to. Can they get there through the Valley Bar website?
Here's what you do.
Here's what you do, people.
Go to spillers.net.
Mm-hmm.
That's Spillers.
Spillers.
S-P-I-L-L-E-R-S. Go to spillers.net.
Yeah.
There's a link right at the top there to go directly to the Ticketfly page. You can also go to facebook.com/spillersphx. That's Spillers Phoenix. Our event page for Spillers number 7 is linked off from there, and that includes the event description has a link to the Ticketfly page as well.
Perfect. And as always, we will be podcasting there. We're going to be recording all 5 live readings and releasing those as podcast episodes.
And then descending and then even further into Valley Bar,
into the green room
to do our exclusive writer interviews.
Writer interviews after the show. That's why it's called the after show.
Yeah, so let's talk about who those people are.
Yeah, let's get to it because what a great lineup of people that we have. And let's start off with Susan DeFreitas.
Yeah.
Who actually has a history with Spillers because we've talked to her before.
We have talked to her.
She's been represented in the book. And a very, very cool person. She was interviewed on episode 46 of this very podcast. If you want to find out more about her, you can always check that out.
Indeed. So we had a previously tumultuous moment with Susan DeFreitas because we had booked her for Spillers, and then Spillers had to change dates.
Yes.
Which kind of screwed up Susan's tour schedule.
Yeah, she was going through Phoenix and some other places promoting Hot Season, her debut novel.
Yeah, and we ended up having to move Spillers to a week later. So what Susan did, though, graciously, she came to Phoenix anyway, and we met her here at Changing Hands Bookstore,
where we're
next to the First
right
Draft
now.
Book Bar. That's right, a bookstore with a book bar.
That's right.
And we interviewed her, and she was on episode 46. And fortunately, this time, we have aligned with her tour schedule.
Thank goodness.
And so we finally get to put Susan DeFreitas on stage.
Yeah.
With her killer story about kind of, it's kind of a college relationship story.
It is. It is a college story for sure, set in a little sleepy kind of a college campus town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Susan sort of represents a little shift for Spillers because she's the first one, first writer we've had that we'll have put on stage who actually doesn't live in Arizona. She lives in Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon.
But
yep.
She used to live in Arizona, and her story is set in Arizona.
Not only Arizona, but in Prescott, Arizona is where she went to college. And that's kind of my hometown.
That's where you grew up.
It is where I grew up.
Which I found out on a previous podcast.
Yes, you did.
Brian and I don't speak to each other outside of podcasting.
No.
Apparently.
This is the only way we can communicate, Robert.
Known each other for 10 years. I don't know a thing about you.
Yeah. So Susan's going to be here, which is great because it's a culmination of like a 6-month long attempt to get her on stage. So that's very cool. And then we also have someone who's relatively new to the writing scene.
Very new to the writing scene.
And that's Udian Garcia.
Who goes by Udi.
Udi.
His friends call him Udi.
We can call him Udi,
and
then.
We're now his friends.
We totally are.
I'm claiming ourselves as Udi's friends.
I'm a friend of anyone who can write like he can, because this story that he wrote, wow. This story is awesome.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's got an emotional impact to it. It's incredibly timely with what's going on right now with ICE and the immigration raids. And
yeah. So for a little bit of context, Udi's story is about a family living kind of in constant fear of being hoisted outside of Trump's wall, his mythical wall. So and he lives in a neighborhood that kind of has a code for how they communicate. They communicate through exterior landmarks.
Yeah, like garbage cans. I don't think we're giving too much away when we say that.
Yeah. Things like that. So so it's a really, really interesting inside perspective of kind of that life, living under that fear.
And I think one of the many things that we liked about it is that it gives us a view into a world that you and I aren't familiar with and that more people need to be familiar with. We need to know that what's going on in the outside world affects people and how it affects them. And this story does a really masterful job of bringing that to the forefront.
It does. And not just that, but he just lands it so perfectly. Literally the last line is the thing, like if he had written one more sentence, like it would have done damage to the story. He leaves it in exactly the right place. And so it grabbed me from the word go, and I'm thrilled that we get to put it on stage. And I think it's really, really timely considering the politics of the moment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it's going to be a coming out party of sorts for Udi. He's an ASU undergrad. He's a creative writing student. And I think we're going to be hearing a lot more from this guy down the road.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that, actually. So we've had quite a number of MFA candidates, or MFA students from ASU in particular, on the Spillers stage and on the Spillers After Show podcast. Udian will be the first ASU undergrad. So he started creative writing, what was it, like halfway through his undergrad program?
Yeah.
So he's like brand new to it.
Totally.
And he sends us a story that just knocks us out, and we're like, yes, please come speak on our stage.
Yeah. No, it was great that he sent that, and we loved it immediately, and we think everyone who hears that story is going to be as impressed as we are, for sure. Now, this is interesting because the next person we have who's going to be reading is none other than Spillers co-founder/co-host and my cohort, you, Robert.
That's me.
That is you.
That's me, the guy who knows nothing about you.
You do. You just have to look deep inside your heart.
Deep inside my fading memory.
Well, that might be a problem. But you are reading a short story, and I don't know how much you want to talk about it or give away about it, but it's an interesting approach. It's very cool. I've read the story. I really love it. I think it's great, and I think the way you went about it is great, and the way you're going to deliver it is also unique. So what do you want to tell us about the Ginger Man?
Well, that was a lot of compliments in one sweeping sentence, so thanks.
It was, wasn't it? Really packed him in.
So this story is, I guess I won't say too much about it, except that it's a kind of a tribute to the writers who have been on our stage before, in the sense that it's about someone who is like them, shares their commitment to art and shares their expectations, I think, and kind of has a very specific approach to getting that art into the world that the world itself has a conflict with, but in that conflict, the goal is to point to the fact that he doesn't, this person doesn't actually care about any of that.
Yeah.
He's just there for the art.
Well, I was going to say, you definitely weave some social commentary in there, and there's some lines that
there's
are particularly
absolutely some social commentary
hard-hitting. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And also, it's funny, it harkens back to, like, a conversation that you and I had before Spillers started. Like, wow. We hadn't seen each other in a while, and right. We sat down for lunch, and I said, you know, I'm really tired of the idea that people, that writers have to, build up their social profiles.
You did say that.
Yep. And I resent that idea, and I said, I would love for somebody to go the other way.
and here it is. And it's this guy.
You know what? I'm going to belligerently stand here and make the world come to me.
Yeah.
This story is about that guy.
That's fantastic.
I'm bringing him into the world.
Well, I'm looking forward to witnessing that, for sure. We also have two more writers who are going to be on the Spillers stage for Spillers number 7. And one of those is Leah Roper, and she's reading her story, Count Backwards from 5.
Leah Myers / Roper.
Leah Myers, yes.
Some of you may currently know her as Leah Myers, but she's going by Leah Roper.
She's going by Leah Roper.
Because
she
married a dude.
and she changed her last name.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she has to transfer all of those previous publishing credits and things like that.
Yeah.
To the new moniker.
So she is now Leah Roper. And the reason that we chose Leah Roper, I had a very specific... There was something that just immediately clicked with me about this. I mean, it's a fantastic story.
It's a great story.
It's so well written, and it just pulls you in. So without saying too much about the story, I mean, you'll hear it on future podcasts, and particularly if you go to the event live. That would be the best way to hear it, I think. Mm-hmm. But so the story is a little bit about a guy with a particular anxiety-fueled manifestation.
Right. Wow.
And what I can say is that, so it's a great story, and I immediately identified that character because I've been working on something for quite a while with a protagonist, kind of an anti-hero, really, who suffers from the same affliction.
Yeah. And you read from part of that at Spillers number 1, did you not?
I did. But that was back before podcast days, so
yes,
no one here will ever see that until it comes out in print. I'm just going to make a pitch to the big three right now.
Oh, are you? Okay. Pitch away.
No. So he has a particular affliction, this protagonist. Actually, it's one of the characters, and it's not actually the narrator, but... It's just a really great story, and it's so interesting to hear about this character's affliction and the narrator's reaction to that character's affliction and how it affects their lives together and things like that. And so Leah, it turns out, is also an ASU undergrad.
She is. I was going to say,
We're
going to have two.
So
Udian
will be our first ASU undergrad to show up ever on the Spillers stage, but he'll quickly be followed.
Yes. By Leah.
About 10 minutes later by Leah.
Yeah. She is an undergrad in creative writing at ASU, and she's concentrating in both fiction and poetry, and I believe she's applying to MFA programs. Her preference is to go back to the Pacific Northwest, I believe. Nothing against ASU. That's just where her heart lies.
Yeah.
But that's what you love
about it. She can hang out with Susan.
They could totally buddy up. It's funny. So you like that particular aspect of the story. I like the fact that she told us during the writer's workshop that it was written out of spite.
Oh, right.
Do you remember that?
I do remember.
Yes, because someone told her she had written a short story, and I don't think I'm giving too much away here, but she had written a short story in which character died. And someone said, you don't do that in a short story. You don't
never
kill your character in a short story. And she said, really? Is that what the rule is? And then she proceeded to break it.
She had a very specific response, which was something like, now I'm going to kill as many of them as I can.
Or maybe the same one over and over. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's great.
So it does give away a little bit about the story.
I don't think too much. I think people still come out for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a character in the story who's a little bit like Kenny from South Park.
Okay. Well, I think we should maybe leave it at that then.
And we'll leave it there.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I do like any time a writer says, oh, yeah, that's a rule. That's a sacred cow. I'm gonna break it.
Pay attention, people. There are no rules. If people tell you there are rules, tell them to piss off.
Yeah, ignore those people. And the last person we have is Dana Deal.
Dana Deal.
She's going to close the show, and rightly so, Robert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dana Deal.
And her story is To Date a Time Traveler.
Her story is a piece of her story collection called Our Dreams Might Align.
Our Dreams Might Align.
And I have to say, the first time I read the title of her book, I thought, I bet she's a good writer. And
because
do you know why?
I do know why. It's because she used the word might instead of may.
Instead of may.
Because they have two distinct...
There is a world of difference between those two words.
Yes, there is.
As interchangeably as they're used.
Yeah, they are, unfortunately.
They do not mean the same thing.
No.
They mean very specific things. and might was used exactly right and in the right context. And I thought, not only is she probably a great writer, she's probably a good editor.
She's probably a very good editor. So how great is it when you can win somebody over just by the title of your short story collection?
Yeah, literally four words.
Yeah.
It was five syllables.
And
I was already hooked. So then we started reading her work. And this story is a piece from that collection, Our Dreams Might Align. And it's... So there's a time traveler character slash aspect, but it's not really about that. It's about something very different.
It really is. It's not the first time we've had sort of a time traveler situation. We also had Ryan Myers read a short story like way, way back, Spillers number 2, where he had someone jump around from physical plane to physical plane, which is interesting. Yeah, but
I really like about this story is that the time traveler... It's not important that he is a time traveler. It's more important that the time traveler himself becomes a story for a metaphor for the story.
Right.
It's really about a character who perhaps by the end wishes time travel could be a real thing.
I think it's safe to say that, yes.
I think it is safe to say that.
I think you are right.
And this is another story that absolutely lands on the last sentence.
Oh, the last sentence just drives the whole thing home, for sure.
This is one of my favorite things about short stories. I think this is something that... Was it Hemingway that talked about this? About how every word should lead to the last line or the last... You know, everything before it in a short story should lead to that last word.
Right.
And I don't know how often that actually happens, but when it does, it kicks my ass every single time.
Yeah, when it does, you know it.
When you hit that last line or that last word and you think, oh, that's where we were going.
That's what this whole thing was about.
And I did not see that coming.
Yeah, which is the best kind of last line.
It's the best, and it automatically glues itself to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck there forever.
Sucks you in the gut.
Yeah. Stories that you'll remember for the rest of your life, they very often end on that last... They very often become clear and become important to you on that last line.
They do. They do.
And Dana absolutely nailed the last line of this one. So
it's going to be a great one to hear, for sure.
Very excited to have that.
She has her MFA from ASU. She is currently teaching in Tucson, I believe, at the University of Arizona, my alma mater. So so she's going to make the trip, and she's going to be there along with everyone else we've just talked about. It's going to be a really incredible night of short fiction. You know, Spillers has, you know, we've gone out of our way to put the best people we can on stage and to deliver the best stories that they have in them. And I think this is just another example of that. These are all going to be fantastic and very memorable. And anyone who comes out is going to be treated to some really great short fiction.
Yeah. I mean, not speaking for myself here, but because I'm part of the lineup, but the
yes,
other
you are.
Four people in our lineup, I have so much pride in this particular lineup. Like, these are four just incredibly strong stories. And I love them, and I'm super excited about it. And it's funny because, you know, with the ASU undergrads that we have, and with Dana Deal being an MFA alum, we've had several people email us and say, "Hey, we really want to see them." But there's another ASU alum event happening at ASU that same night.
There is,
and so what they're all planning to do is to attend that reading and then promptly fly on over to Spillers.
Yes, with complete disregard for traffic laws and signals and speed limits. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just telling Brian before we started recording this, the way I envision this happening is them all piling into the back of a Chevy. like a Chevy pickup truck. There's just like a bunch of college students in the back of a Chevy.
Yeah, just piling into it
and
you do.
And there's like a Spillers flag that's flying out of the back of it, and they're rearing down ice like the 51.
We got to get there.
The 202.
We got to get there in time.
At 90 miles an hour. We're trying to get to Spillers.
We should probably provide the flag for them.
We should.
If they're going to hoist
a flag
it.
Made for them.
Let's see if we can. Anything's possible. So, yeah, that's the breakdown of Spillers number 7. It's going to be a fantastic night. Again, it is Tuesday, March 14th, 2017, at Valley Bar this time. So all of you people who are accustomed to going to Crescent, we're going to switch it up on you. Show up at Valley Bar by 7:30 and... get your tickets ahead of time, for sure. Go to spillers.net, and that will guide you through the process.
Hey, and if you're local and you haven't been to Valley Bar yet, you should know that it is so close to Crescent Ballroom that you can park at Crescent Ballroom and then walk over in about 2 minutes.
Oh, Yeah.
They're that close to each other.
I thought you were going to say it's within spitting distance.
It's within spilling distance.
Spilling distance.
If you were on the top of a building and you spilled a drink with a little bit of momentum, you would probably actually hit Valley Bar.
Yeah, it would stain the facade.
Yeah, it is very, very close by. And if you're wondering where to park, if you have been to Valley Bar and you're wondering where to park, there's parking information on the event description of the Spiller 7 event page on Facebook. So
find Wonderful. Out.
There's a map and everything.
Wonderful. Absolutely. Well, we appreciate all you people listening here, and by all means, check out other episodes of this podcast, this award-winning Best of Phoenix 2016 by Phoenix New Times podcast, Robert.
That's right.
Let's not forget to bring the plaques to the show.
I was literally just going to say
Were you going to say that?
One of us needs to write down, bring the damn plaque.
Bring the plaque, because we're going to hold it high. we're really proud of that. Go to spillersaftershow.com. We are up to like 60 episodes now. There's some really great stuff there. And we will see all of you at the event. Thanks, everybody.